Thank you very much, Preston, and thank you very much, Joe, for teaching. It's wonderful to hear the Word of God as you've presented it. I think that you both are avid workmen of the Word, and that means you stand approved before God, which is wonderful. I guess to be a workman of the Word is like another degree of righteousness in a way, because we say that righteousness is your ability to stand before God without any sense of sin, guilt, or condemnation. It means you're perfectly right, and that means you're approved, and then you're approved also by being a workman of the Word if you rightly divide the Word of truth. One of the most dynamic principles to rightly dividing God's word is to get to whom addressed correct. And that should be at the foremost of your mind anytime you speak the word, and of course anytime you teach the word. Get to whom addressed correct. Like, we know the Gospels are written to the Jews. We know that largely the perceptions of the first century believers and leaders was the kingdom of God. But then at the end of the book of Acts, Paul said that's held in abeyance. And so that's a wonderful thing to understand, because as Christians, we're not seeking the kingdom of God right now. This is what a lot of people don't understand, but it's truth. And the kingdom of God is held in abeyance. And what that means is that there's a big pause button that was pushed. Well, there's going to be a play button pushed at some point in time. So as you ferret through some of the kingdom of God themes in the Gospels, especially in the book of Acts, even in the epistles, you must keep that in mind. We're not seeking the kingdom of God right now, although we know that it will come to bear in time. We are part of the family of God. We're seated in the heavenlies. We have citizenship in heaven. And that's something that we must never rule out when we study themes related to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, any of those things. The kingdom of heaven is overall, but there's some teachings, as Joe referred to them, on our rbrc.us website. And you can get full disclosure on those as you study that information. So I think it's wonderful that we have teachers rising up, and it just means everything. I mean, the new generation has got to, or the next generation has got to shoulder some of this, because the older generation is not always going to be here, and it's appointed to every man to die. And so we have to go through that, sadly, if Jesus Christ doesn't come back in our lifetime. So it's a beautiful, beautiful work seeing teachers rising up. I can't say enough about that. And I thank you for taking a stand in your hearts and lives and avidly pursuing speaking the word of God. It's just so wonderful. I wanted to say something in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, his dunamis, to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Now, his mighty power, that phrase, according to the working of his mighty power, working mighty power, actually are three different words for power: energeia, ischus, and kratos, but not dunamis. And so that is all about exercise power, the energizing of his mighty Kratos, which is his dominion, his strength, his absolute might. And so that's the basis of our exceeding greatness, exceedingly great dunamis, as we believe. And God doesn't mince any words when he uses the word exceeding. In chapter 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's not mixing any words here. There's no mincemeat. This is truth. He's going to show in time the exceeding riches of his grace. That means he's going to show it forth. He's going to indicate it. There's not going to be any question about it. And the word exceeding is an exciting Greek word. It's like over and beyond throwing out. Hooperbalo. And it's just way beyond the normal exposure. Just fantastic. And God does not mix words when he talks about what he's going to throw our way. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly." And exceeding here is not hooperbalo, but it's hooper, which just is super, super abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And super abundantly is extremely powerful because it is in the exceeding category. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly in the exceptional category, above all that we ask or think. And what I would like to say is that everything that you see, everything that you hear, everything that you taste, everything that you touch, and everything that you feel is not all there is to life. Now, maybe you think that it is all there is to life, but everything that you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is not everything that there is to life. You may feel surrounded. You may feel bound by those things around you, but that is not all there is to life. And I base that on Ephesians 3:20. Because no matter what you think, no matter what your brain processes, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, feeling, God trumps those things. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able. He's able, which is a form of dunamis. He's able. His dunamis is what brings the exceptional things to your life. You cannot receive the exceptional things, the exceeding abundantly category, without his dunamis. He is literally behind every aspect, every manifestation of dunamis that ever was, that ever is, and that ever will be. He is present for those manifestations, and especially for Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able, he is 100% dunamis eyed. He's just dunamis through and through. His whole persona, his whole everything is dunamis, among a million other things, of course. But relating to dunamis, it's what will release the exceeding exceptional abundance above, beyond what your five senses try to define as life. So if you find yourself encircled, bound, trapped in what you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, and if you call those things my life, then I ask you to break free of that, to walk forth into the super abundant life category gifted by Jesus Christ. And I ask you to put those five senses behind you and don't let them define your perimeter, but let God and his power define your perimeters. Walk forth in expectation. Walk forth in power. Walk forth in expectation. Walk forth and receive his abundance. Ask, think, but do not prevent his power from being energized in you. And let's glorify him together. Now unto him. Now unto him. Let that be your claim, your hallmark in your walk of faith on this journey of prosperity and abundance. I'm not talking about worldly prosperity. I'm talking about spiritual abundance. Now unto him. Nobody else. Not you. Not your efforts. Now unto him that is able. He's got the dunamis. He's fully equipped and fully able to take your thoughts, your boundaries, your perimeters, your senses, your perceptions, your recognitions, your choices, your own personal self-guidance, your studies, any event that you have allowed to develop and circle you. Let's leave it behind. Let's walk forth, expecting him, your heavenly Father, through Christ, to take you into the exceeding abundantly category. For what you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell does not define who you are. It does not define your reality. The only thing that defines your reality is God's word via God in Christ in you. Thank you.